The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy, your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast on the entire internet. And not just the internet, the outer net, too, in space. I am one of your hosts, Carmen.
And I am one of your hosts, Kelsey, and it is a beautiful night for a podcast. And we have exciting things happening. We were just chit-chatting about our Discord and how much we love that. We just recorded a new episode for Patreon, so if you're not on our Patreon, you can find that in the this episode description and the link tree on our Instagram bio. It's also just patreon.com/Grey's Academy Pod. So it's easy to find, and then you can get on Discord and chat with us, and you can go on Patreon and listen to us say dumb shit that's not even relevant to Grey's, which is what we do on this podcast sometimes, but that's okay.
We do say a lot of dumb shit, but to your point on the last Patreon, we never say stupid shit.
It's true.
You know who says a lot of stupid shit?
Derek.
No, I was going to get political for a second, but I thought maybe not. Maybe I shouldn't. So many politicians, so many stupid
most
comments.
Of them.
Yeah.
Or they say smart things, but they're lying, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
We do have a shout out. We have a new Patreon since our last episode. Anna. So shout out Anna. She's on
shout out.
She's on our Discord. We're excited to have new people over there.
I am so thrilled. And it's days like that that really, when we get new Patreon patrons that are, it's just so exciting. I messaged her because it seems like she had followed me a while back and I missed it. So I messaged her, and I try to be on top of this stuff. So I messaged her and I was like, hey, like, first off, so sorry. How are you liking the show? Thanks for being a Patreon member, blah, blah, blah. So sweet. So she actually found us back in 2022. She's all
the
caught
early
up.
Days.
Yeah. Back before we really got our groove. So, really love that she's reliving, this journey with us, and she's also a fellow Scorpio, so really, really loving having her on the journey. Also, I just need to shout out Renee. She sent me this, this basic. It's a screen record, and it was of an episode that we had done where I had just like flipped the words. I was trying to say, let's talk about Bailey's baby, but instead I said, let's talk about baby's Bailey. And neither one of us apparently corrected that. So she was just sitting there telling me that she was dying.
She sent me a joke for you.
Ooh, okay. I'm excited.
Five ants rented an apartment with another five ants. Now they're tenants.
I love that. I've also got one here too. Let's see. Orion's belt is a big waste of space. Terrible joke. Only 3 stars.
3 stars. A classic.
I love it. Wait, hold on. There's one that she sent me here. Let's see this. It's a picture of a polar bear breathing in, like exhaling in the middle of the Arctic, but it looks like it's breathing fire, and I love it. Anyways, Kelsey, it is so good to see you. And I know we just talked on Patreon, but for any non-Patreon patrons, how is life treating you? And how is that sweet, sweet Tumblr, custom made, one of a kind, soon to be two of a kind, Grey's Academy custom Tumblr feeling.
It's great. I love it. I'm hydrated. You know, I love a cup and I love the color red. This has our logo on it.
Current logo. I forgot that you loved red.
I do love
Shout red. Out to Jessica.
Jessica knows me. She's my angel baby. Did she get her Secret Santa gift? Do you know?
Yes. Ooh. Yes, okay. She did.
Good. It was from.
Okay. How on earth did you two get both of us?
I know. We were so surprised because I had already drawn and it was Jessica. And then like Michael was one of the last people. I was like, Michael, seriously, freaking, you have to do it. You haven't only like four people haven't done it. And so he did it. And I was like, who'd you get? And he goes, Carmen. And I was like, no way, I got Jessica. And then that was so funny that you got me. Like, that was really funny. Like, I was like, what are the chances? But I knew that Jessica didn't have Michael because I knew who had Michael. And I was like, can you imagine if Jessica got Michael? Like, that would have been
that
so
would have been wild. Actually, she couldn't have because I think she got Michael last year.
Maybe.
Who did I have last year? Did I have Michael last year?
Maybe.
I don't remember. Do you have the record of that from last year?
Somewhere. I'd have to pull it up.
Did you make any other specific rules on this one as like a certain one person couldn't get a certain other person?
This is easily the most restrictions I've ever had to put on Secret Santa in the like 7 years that our group has been doing this.
Yeah.
Normally I just put couples can't get each other and then it auto sets so that you can't get the same person you have last year. Let me tell you, I really put some restrictions on some stuff this year. So
there's one that I know. I know that there were two people who couldn't get each other, but what other restrictions did you put out?
It's relevant to that
okay.
in a lot of ways, just like other people with some strong feelings.
That's fair. That's fair.
So, you know how
that's
it goes.
Funny. Yeah. Yeah. We're exactly. starting to shift to off-air conversation, but anyways,
yeah.
How is my elementary dear Watson doing? I don't see
he's
him,
precious.
But is he doing well?
Yeah, he's asleep. He's a nugget.
Did he have a good day really playing well. With your daddy's dogs today?
Well, my dad only has one dog now, unfortunately.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. But Harley is my dad's dog and he's very loving, but he is large and he's excited all the time. And Watson will be large. He is right now pretty small for a Doberman. I think he's big for a puppy, but for a Doberman, he's small.
How much is he weighing right now?
He's like probably like 25 pounds.
And he's how old?
20 when we got him. Well, they told us when we got him that he was 13 weeks. And that was like a month ago almost. It was 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
But when Michael took him to the vet, they were like, no, he's younger than that. Like based on his teeth. They were like, he's definitely okay. younger than that. So we're thinking he was closer to 10 weeks when we got him, between like 8 and 10 weeks.
Okay.
So yeah, just because multiple people had him before he got to the rescue, it's kind of unclear what was going on.
Yeah, I'm not sure what age you can have dogs, but I think the 8 to 10 range is typical.
Yeah,
of the
they
sweet
normally
spot.
Don't pull a dog from its mom before 8 weeks.
Yeah, from the bosom,
yeah.
the life-giving breast.
But again, it's unclear because it was multiple people, multiple breeders were passing this litter around in Florida before they got to the rescue. So,
yeah.
But he's good. So he's like really good with people where the dog socialization is really our biggest weakness right now. So we just have to kind of introduce him to more dogs and let that aspect kind of work itself out.
That'll naturally happen in the training classes you guys are doing though.
Well, there's only two other dogs in the training class and they're both teeny tiny puppies. It's another couple their two little pit bull puppies. And Michael said they're like really little. And of course those dogs, he like barks at cause they're tiny. But when it's a dog that's bigger than him, he just hides and like whines.
That's like, funny.
Okay. Although today when I took him for a walk, there was a dog like right when we first got out walking and he was like only a little bit bigger than Watson. Like he was fully grown, but just a little bit bigger than Watson. And I think because we were still in our yard, he like went into that super protective mode and was being really, really barking a lot and like kind of boxing me back, you know? And so that's when I really kind of started to see it. Cause typically with dogs, he'll like, if we're not near our house, he'll kind of freeze or just like hide. Doesn't really bark like that. So it was interesting to see that he was really like taking into that. Cause that's, you know, one of the biggest traits of Dobermans is that they're like wildly protective, like an insane amount, like to a point where it has been problematic in the past. And they're very, very loyal.
Yeah. So. Which is great.
Yeah.
And, but you know what? I would rather have a protective dog, especially with having two little kiddos around. And we said the same thing about having Grievous and a German Shepherd. But anyway, I know we could talk about doggies all day long.
It's true. Sorry.
we are at the 10 minute mark, which means we're going to go ahead and just jump right into this, guys. New Year. Happy New Year. Is this our first episode? No, this is not our first episode of the New Year. It's our first episode recording in the new year, right?
No.
Did we record post?
No. Yeah. Because we recorded like a week ago today.
Anyways. Well, happy new year.
Again.
Soon when, Orthodox new year. Is that a thing?
No, but lunar new year is February 10th. So 1 month from today is lunar new year.
So get your new year's resolutions planned for lunar new year.
Your new year's resolutions.
Yeah. Your new I can't figure this out live. It's too late.
Lunar.
Anyways. All right. Tell us. It's an episode. This is a podcast. Grey's Academy. Follow all the Instagrams. Follow the Patreons. Leave a 5-star review. Do the things. I need a snack. I'm hungry. I'm hungry.
Same. Okay. This is the 8th episode of the 6th season. It is episode 110 overall, which I just have to note that means it has only been 10 episodes since Izzy and Alex got married. And so much shit has gone down.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane. This episode is called Invest in Love, and that's a song.
Invest in Love. This reminds me, you didn't watch Psych, but there's a, I don't know why I was about to crisscross a reference of Flavor of Love, Flavor Flav. Yes, Invest in Love. Oh no, hold on. My internet is being weird. Give me 1 second. So sorry. Safari, come back, Safari. Goodness gracious. I'm so sorry, guys. Hold on 1 second. Invest in Love is an album off of, or is a song off of the album Joy. Now, the album Joy by Becca Shea, who is the artist who is attractive, came out in 2008. Not a lot of information about this this artist or this song or this album. It did not chart. It did not get super high rankings, but again, it is a Christian song, a Christian artist that is putting this out. I don't remember which one recently we had another Christian artist. It was another girl like singer.
Two weeks ago, I think.
Yeah, it was fairly recently, but, anyways, the song, I did not like it. It was not very good. It was just okay. It got a 1 out of 5. It did not make it to the iTunes library. However, take a listen to the album. The album was not bad. I listened to a couple of the other songs on there. There's one song that is called I Will Not Forget, and it was not too bad. So anyways, with that, Kelsey, I turn it over to you, my friend.
Thank you so much. This episode was written by Stacey McKee and directed by Jessica Yu, both of whom we have seen many times before. It aired November 5th, 2009, so the day after you turned 17.
2009? Now it's
18.
Yeah? No. 91, 2009. 18. Yes. Just turned 18.
The day after you were 18. What were you doing on your 18th birthday? Remember?
I don't know. Probably getting my wiener touched. I wasn't sure I was going to say anything, and then I started, and I was like, well, I can't not finish the sentence. I have a problem with not finishing sentences.
Oh, my God.
Are you sure that was 18? 1991.
Okay, I was born in 90, and I turned 18 in 2008. So, yes, I am sure.
You're right. A day after I turned 18. Yeah, my wiener was for sure getting touched.
Oh, my God.
I am what changed. I don't I will not apologize for being
I know you won't
an active consensually active
you can
sexual
literally
man
just say, I will not apologize because you really don't like ever apologize
today so Jessica was on the phone, we were talking about, and I said something fucking I used the word fucking, and she's like, you don't need to be aggressive. And I was like, I'm not being aggressive. And she says, I feel like you're being aggressive. And I go, well, I will not apologize for you feeling like I'm being aggressive because I'm not being aggressive. I just was swearing.
Again, you can just say you won't apologize.
But I need to explain. But I need to explain why I'm not apologizing.
They're both true. You don't need to explain because it doesn't matter.
Man, 18-year-old Carmen. Hold on. Can I just say, you would not have liked 18-year-old Carmen.
I have no problem believing that. That is, there are so many people. I'm like, I would have hated high school you. Like, I know it for a fact.
You would have eventually warmed up to me because I was also I was fiercely loyal and also care about. No, I still am. All of those things were there, but there was a very hard exterior of
look at me,
over obnoxious, a little bit douchebaggy, but not in like a bad way. It was more of
that was like trendy.
Yeah, but I think it was more to act like I was like really really cool, like I you know, a little bit narcissistic, which I'm totally not now. Like I'm so not narcissistic. I'm so humble.
This is an audio podcast, but I'm making a lot of faces. This episode had 13.95 million views. And the Netflix synopsis is, a generous donation is offered to Seattle Grace by the parents of Arizona's 10-year-old patient. I feel like that's pretty accurate.
That's it? That's it? That's all it says?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, there's just more things. There's more things that happen.
I mean, that's like a big one.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, go ahead.
This episode gave me the weepies. Definitely a crying episode.
I was pretty sure it would.
Yeah.
This is
what were you going to say?
Last week was very Derek-centric. This is mostly Arizona centric, but like there's more side people than there was, I feel like, with the Derek stuff. But again, Meredith is still bedridden, although I think this might be the last time she's the end of her liver leave.
Well, they literally said that they're healed. Also, are you eating a Reese's egg?
No, I'm eating a Reese's heart.
Oh man, do I have any Reese's?
I think these are better. I think these might be the best ones.
Pumpkins.
I don't like the pumpkins.
You are nuts.
A ratio of the pumpkins is off.
No,
this, I think
the
this
perfect.
Is the best one.
I'll have to have
Although,
one.
They have footballs. They have footballs now.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Speaking of footballs, I think I am going to go get a little treat. So why don't you keep telling us about the episode and, or you already did. I'm so sorry.
What treat are you going to get?
We have like Reese's cups upstairs, or
get it in the in between times when we have, when it's turned off and we don't have to continue to have a conversation.
Fine. It's fine. But my tummy's making rumblies. What if I go make an entire sandwich in our in between? These people don't care.
Yeah.
Okay. So Arizona killed it this episode. Mm-hmm. Really great episode for Arizona. Shitty Weber episode. Although he had an arc.
He was not there a lot, but when he was there,
Jennings
it was
Jennings can fuck off. This guy just fucking kick rocks, bro.
Yeah, he's.
And I'm not talking like kick rocks, like get out of here. I'm talking literally kick a rock, stub your toe, hurt yourself, and break your toe.
Don't treat him.
Amputate.
Great episode for Callie.
Yes. Yes.
Great episode. Little tiny snippet, not a lot, but Mark. Great episode for Mark.
Oh yeah.
He was he got only a couple lines in, but man, were they all excellent.
So good. Yeah. I'm excited to talk about the Jackson. There's some Jackson stuff. And Reed. Jackson and Reed in this.
And Charles was not there a lot, but when he was there, he was not being annoying.
Yeah. And not calling someone their personal bitch, which was nice. Right.
April's still fired. Derek is medium.
I'm confused.
He fired me, but I refuse to stay to be fired. So I just show up and tell him hello and he ignores me.
Should we start here? I feel like we should start there.
Let's start at that because there's not much else to that. But yeah.
Is he covered under the hospital liability yet? Or is he just cutting into people?
He has to be covered under it because he has to not actually be fired. Hospital. Yeah.
He has to not actually be fired.
Also, like, I don't think Jennings would let him be fired.
You're probably right. Unless there was an underlying reason.
Yeah, like
but
an actual...
there's not. There's not. Derek just performed a miracle. Literal miracle.
Yeah. And I mean the PR on that.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Come on. Don't even.
Can you imagine the headline though? Man saves man who tries to kill Iron Man.
No.
With a what?
No. It'd be like about how like two people in the same hospital like worked together to defeat this inoperable tumor.
Yeah. I love it. That was a great that's on my list that I need I'm going to need to rewatch. Although I'm excited we still got to do a Throwback Thursday episode. Okay, so Derek not fired. Weber being a dick. We got three big patient storylines. We get some good Alex scenes. But it starts with Weber handing Alex $200,000 of unpaid medical bills. Izzy, what the fuck? They really, okay, if she's actually gone, these writers hate her.
Yeah, the retconning of Izzy is like so bad. It's so bad. It's so bad.
I would sue. If it was me in this scenario, I'm suing Izzy not only to get a divorce, but I'm suing her and she's taking those medical bills. Those aren't my medical bills. They're not mine. I'm not taking that.
Yeah, that's some fucking bullshit.
And Weber is like, well, post-merger, I really can't do anything about it anymore. And also, it is fucked up that if you're getting treated in your own hospital that you work at, there's got to be they got to have some sort of discount system here. And Weber's like, well, the discount was I just didn't tell you about it until now. That's fuck you. Shut up.
Yeah, it was like not. It's weird. And I hate it so much. There's just so many problems in American healthcare.
Yeah.
I know we have a lot of listeners from other countries. And I just want to say, I hope your healthcare is better. And I feel like it probably is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, anyways, yeah, Weber hands Alex a shitload of medical bills. And Reed overhears, and she's like trying her hardest to be nice to Alex. And I feel like I really resonate with this because like at first she's really like harsh and like mean. And then she's like making an effort to be nice. And I'm like, okay, I also come off as harsh and mean. Not as harsh as she was because I don't like always actively try and do it. Sometimes I do, but not always. And then I try to like kind of be nice to people, but
reel it
Alex
in a little
was
bit.
Not having it. Alex was not having the nice.
Yeah, it's she comes and checks in on him, and I'm starting to like her. Mm-hmm. I didn't already start to like her, but it's tough to see that kind of level of you're putting yourself out there, not even if it's not romantic, like you're trying to be nice.
Yeah.
And she even says it later on. I think she says, how messed up are you that you won't let anyone be nice? Like not even one single person actually be nice to you. So yeah, I'm really liking her. I can't figure out exactly what her motives are because we have that scene later with Jackson and her talking and we'll get there. But Alex is just like being a dick. It makes sense with all the stuff that's happening that he's being a dick. But at a certain point, you got to be like, okay.
Can you not?
Yeah. But I feel bad for the guy.
Essentially what she does. I mean, yeah, he has a lot going on and like no one in his corner, especially right now with Meredith gone, because Meredith and him have, you know, they have their own little connection, but she's not in the hospital right now. And, you know, he doesn't have Addison anymore. Who does he have? Izzy's gone. George died. They hated each other. What does he have going for him?
He's kind of, I think he's got Bailey in his corner a little bit.
He definitely does. Yeah. This was a nice episode with Bailey. She said that he would be good at peds. Believe you have said something similar.
Yeah. Well, Bailey and I are very much in sync.
Right. And so, yes, do you want to talk about the baby then?
Yeah. Let's talk about the baby, the mommy and the baby.
So Alex in Arizona have a patient who was 30 weeks pregnant and she got in a car crash and she has a brain injury. And then they realize the baby is having a stroke in utero. So they have to do an emergency C-section at 4 a.m.
And this is what the opening scene, everyone was getting paged.
Yeah. In the middle of the night. And so they do the emergency C-section. The baby is like, honestly, for being 30 weeks, mostly okay, other than the fact that she had a stroke, before she was born. Like, that was the biggest thing. But, like, I feel like you see all these NICU babies in this show that have, like, a bajillion wires, and she really didn't have that many.
Yeah.
The problem with premature babies is that the lungs are the last thing to develop.
Yeah.
And they're also crucial to existing. So a lot of times it's all about making sure a kid can breathe.
Yeah. Although the other kid that was in the NICU that Bailey was on had it, I feel like, worse. She's like, all of his insides are born on the outside, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, that sucks. So
we've had that before where the baby's heart was on his outside.
Yeah.
And Mark grew the skin flap. Like, God.
I
will say with Bailey's baby in the NICU, I was like, that actually looks like a newborn. It doesn't look like a 4-month-old baby. It doesn't look like a toddler.
Yeah. At one point, I was watching this episode last night, and Jessica goes, is that supposed to be a real baby? And I go, it's supposed to be. The infant newborn preemie. The
NICU, like super preemie, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're better than others.
Yeah. But this one, so the whole issue was it couldn't stabilize. It was
all the stats were just all down and they were all maxed out on meds and just nothing could be done.
And we get the mom. Oh yeah. The mom's having a seizure.
Yeah.
The baby codes and we get that scene with Alex.
Alex is like, I'm just going to hold this baby until she dies because I feel bad for her. And I feel bad for the mom. Like, I want the mom's right. You know, what if she dies before she's ever held? Oh, I should hold her so she doesn't die without ever being held. So he holds her. And that, like, stabilizes the baby. And Bailey says that. He's like, oh, there's all these studies that show, like, which they've mentioned it before in one of the episodes where there were multiples born. They put one that wasn't doing well in the incubator with another one and like everything was fine, which is just like crazy
science. Very cool. And the human person body is wild.
Connection.
Can I just say, just before you keep going down this route, moments before he held the baby, we had that scene where Alex was like really being a dick to Reed. She was coming in. She was like, hey, like I can help. And Alex was like, this kid's gonna die, so just get the fuck out of my face.
Yeah.
Like, deal with it. This kid's going to die.
Like,
deal with
maybe
it.
Maybe we can think of something else to save this infant. And he's like, no, she's going to die. Just go away.
Yeah.
Okay. Not good doctoring.
Not very optimistic.
And so then, he's holding the baby. Bailey comes in and she's like, oh, there's all these studies about this. Like, look how well it's doing. She's like, oh, but you know, most of the studies show it's actually better if it's skin on skin. So take your shirt off. To which he responds, take your shirt off. Which is inappropriate.
I was dying. Oh.
And so he takes his shirt off and snuggles this eensy baby. And Derek comes up and is like, what are you doing? And Bailey says, he's saving a life. And Derek says, have you started lactating? Which is like not a funny joke. Like, are you...
It is inappropriate and yeah.
And comparing him to a mother in a negative way, like I don't understand. And Reed walks in and she's like, oh, he has no shirt. And then I love Mark's line. I heard the calendar shoot was here. That one was funny.
Also, can I ask a question about this? I don't know if you have this answer, but I noticed in this episode that every time we saw Chandra Wilson, she was in like oversized clothes. Does she happen to be pregnant in this storyline, like during this point of her life?
I have no idea.
I felt like every time I saw her, she was in like clothing on top of the scrubs or like the big, the poofy, like the plastic outfits. Yeah. Maybe I was just...
She also wasn't in this episode a whole lot.
Yeah.
So it could have just been...
But now every time that I see Meredith, I'm like trying to see if there's... No, she wasn't pregnant. Okay. I don't know. It was just like a weird thing. Maybe I just was noticing. I'm trying to get too into the weeds on my detail noticing.
Yeah.
Goodness. Also, I'm glad Bailey was there to defend Alex and be like, you guys, he's literally saving a baby. Get the fuck out of here. Go away.
Get the fuck out. So, yeah, he just spends most of the episode with the baby. And then when Reed is like, I'm impressed. Like, someone else can take over for you. Do you want me to find somebody? And he's like, I can't leave. But he says it really mean. And that's when she says, are you so messed up that you can't let anyone be nice to you? And he says, I can't go home. I can't get Izzy to call me back. She's gone. Could be dead for all I know. She left me with $200,000 medical bill, and I can't do anything about it, about any of it. But I can sit here and I can hold this baby. That I can do. And Reed says, then I'll sit here with you for a little while.
That was sweet.
That was sweet. And Alex did not immediately say, fuck right off. So,
yeah,
that's good. Growth.
Yeah. Progress. Baby steps. Mm-hmm. Preemie baby steps.
Teeny eensy baby steps.
I don't know that the writers, I mean, if Izzy is actually gone and we don't get any conclusion and this is it, we just have to believe that the resolution is never coming and she's just gone and she really is that selfish. If they are starting to want us to start rooting and stand for the Alex Reed relationship, fine. I'm okay with it. I think I actually maybe had said that. I need one of those fucking Reese's.
I'm just so hungry. I don't even want them. I'm just so hungry.
I might get ice cream for in between episodes. There's like some peanut butter chocolate ice cream we have upstairs. So I'm on board with it. I don't know if I predicted that last week, but I'm on board with the two of them together. I think
you said Reed and Jackson were going to get married.
Oh, okay. I mean, there's still time.
That's true. There's a lot of time. There's literally so much time.
Nothing but time. And as of right now, us recording, time does not stop for Grace.
Yeah.
Like there's another season. Yeah. There's still one person on the original from the original cast on the show. Two people. Wow. I have no idea who it could be. Literally no idea. I thought it was George. I thought it was Alex. But George is fucking dead. Around that time George died.
I do remember. I remember vividly when it happened to me as a teenager.
Yeah. So, I'm liking it. I think that they're a cute couple. Also, Reed, she's just trying to be sweet. And in this exact moment, other than that one scene with Jackson, which we could probably talk about after a quick message break, but I'm really not getting ulterior motives. The first couple of episodes, like she came in, she planted her flag. She said, fuck you. I'm here to work. Like, I don't care. But all of them have kind of softened on the Seattle Grace people. And I don't think all the Seattle Grace people have fully softened on them. Mm-hmm. specifically Alex and a little bit of Christina, but like Lexi is kind of like accepting of all of them. And I mean, they're at the party, so I guess there's still, there is some mingling there happening, but, yeah, I don't know. It's just an interesting, I'm curious to see where the Reed Alex connection
Reed
goes.
Reed and Alex definitely have similar energy of like coming off like really harsh and like putting on this front of like being like, oh, look at me go. I don't want arbiter, you know? But underneath they actually are decent people. So it matches.
Yeah.
It tracks. So yeah. Quick word from our regional sponsors.
One of the best things about finishing a great book is knowing that you have another one ready to go in your to-be-read pile. With Book of the Month, you can make sure that your to-be-read pile stays stocked and ready to go. Each month, you can use the app to select from 5 to 7 titles vetted and curated by the team at Book of the Month, focusing specifically on debut authors and early releases. If you can't choose just one, you can always upgrade and add more from your selection. And if that TBR pile starts to get a little too tall, you can skip as many months as you need to give yourself a little extra time to catch up on what you have. Personally, I am a huge fan of suspense and psychological thrillers, so I was very excited to see multiple books on the selection list for May that fit that description. I selected 2 different titles, both of which are set in Washington State, just like our favorite show, Grey's Anatomy. I thoroughly enjoyed The Return of Ellie Black, the first thriller novel from Amiko Jean, and have Middle Tide by Sarah Crouch ready to read on my road trip next week. Right now, you can sign up for Book of the Month and use code PETALS to get your first book for only $5. That's code PETALS, P-E-T-A-L-S, to get your first book for only $5. Watch out for that blue box at your door and get your TBR pile stocked and ready.
And we are back.
Oh, I love it. I held my breath that whole time. Well, did you ever have superstitions as a kid? Like,
oh, when you holding go through a tunnel breath? Or by a cemetery?
Cemetery, yeah, that's us. Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, my favorite thing to do is when I drive by a cemetery. If someone Not else drive is by in the car, I'll go, hey, you know who's buried there? And they say, who? And I go, dead people. And it's funny to me every single time.
You know what would be fun? In like a totally scary, stupid way that I don't want to actually do.
Dying.
No. Well, that too.
Dark.
There's a supposed haunted stretch of road near our house.
You would never. You're so afraid of ghosts.
But should we do it together for the podcast?
Yeah, but like, I'm not afraid of ghosts.
But
and
I
you
am
are very afraid of them. I don't even know if like what the content would be, because I would be like, okay, well, we're just driving on a road, and you would be just like huddled in the back seat under blankets, like hiding.
No,
what's
I
the
would
content me being like, well, guys, Garmin just shit himself. Now we have to go to a car wash and buy him some new underwear at Target.
What car wash also, are you going no to ghosts. That's going to clean the shit out of the inside of the car?
The kind where you vacuum afterwards.
You're just vacuuming up shit.
Maybe we rent a car for this adventure.
And get the detail package insurance just in case.
Yeah.
Or I wear a diaper, either one. Pull a Lexi and a Christina.
Would be proud.
That's hardcore. You knew you were going to be scared and shit your pants, so you wore a diaper. Oh, gosh. Kelsey, that's funny. You're funny.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
So, okay, Jackson and Reed are apparently in love with Christina and Alex.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of out of nowhere. The Jackson thing's kind of out of nowhere.
Well, they've been paired together a lot since the day one. I mean, at this point, it's kind of just like he thinks she's hot. And she is, so...
It's the hotness level comes from he thinks that she's a badass, which she is a badass.
Yeah.
Maybe dumb and selfish, but a badass.
Yeah. You know, I love Jackson. I just think he's so stunningly beautiful. This episode, especially. It's like, damn, it's a hot man. Hot, 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 hot man.
So. What are your thoughts on Jackson?
I find him beautiful.
Let's see. Where should we take this conversation? Should we just talk about like that party and their moment, or should we backtrack it to the surgery, like that?
Yeah, we'll do Hillary as a patient.
Okay. Okay.
So Hillary comes in. Owen pages Callie because this 15-year-old girl has fallen off of her roof, which they find out later is because she was doing mushrooms. Also, please remember it is 4 a.m. This 15-year-old is high on mushrooms at all hours of the night, and she falls off a roof because she's fucking stupid. But she's actually like the valedictorian and like really smart and like really involved in all of these things, and like, but she's a piece of shit as a person.
Yeah. Wow.
So she has 52 broken bones, and that is a lot of broken bones.
When
that's like half when, of your bones.
Yeah. Is it half? How many bones do you have in your body?
I think it's 108.
No, I don't know. It's almost half. Wow. So when we get introduced to this patient, and Callie's like, okay, Owen, like, what
I
the
was
fuck?
Wrong. It's 206. I was very okay. Wrong. It's a quarter yeah, two, of bones.
Yeah, but still, you know, that was a good effort.
I was so sure.
Maybe 108 oh, well, it doesn't matter. Yeah, I don't know. So she's like, oh, you call me in for a broken bone. Ho, ho, ho. Owen, you're so funny. Thanks for nothing. And he goes, try fucking 50, Callie. Yeah. And they just zoom into her swollen body. One of them was is it a compound fracture when it's through the skin? Is that what those ones are?
I think so.
So whatever the fracture is
a
when it's broken.
Protruding fracture.
Yeah, it was, man. Wild. And that scene where we start to see that, yeah, she was on mushrooms and she's talking to her parents. What a dickhead.
Yeah, she's just a shitty kid. Like, she just sucks.
When they're like, oh, you were on shrooms, and they were starting to, and she's like, can everyone just chill out? Girl, every bone is broken in your body. We're not going to chill.
Yeah, I don't think we will. Thank you, though, for asking.
Yeah, go ahead.
What is it that she says? She's like, because her dad's like, you're a disappointment. And she's like, no, I'm not. I'm amazing and perfect and wonderful, and you're just upset because okay, here it is. I get straight A's, I'm on honor roll, I run the student council, I basically am the school paper, I tutor kids with reading problems, I'm every parent's dream come true, including yours. I was exploring the bounds of my consciousness with the help of a mushroom. I made a calculated risk going on that roof, falling off. Well, that was a low probability event, and even low probability events occasionally occur, and this one did. So yeah, you're bummed I miscalculated because it reminds you of your own fallibility. I'm bummed too. Let's just leave it at that. What the fuck?
And Christina loves it at first. She's like, this is my kind of girl.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Christina Yang on shrooms?
No, I don't think I can.
Yeah. I just reminded myself of the episode where we had Meredith was on painkillers.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was funny. Great performance. Bring back that Meredith. She was just on a major surgery. Why didn't we get any painkillers for this?
Cause we don't need it. She's happy now. She's happy married Meredith now.
I love happy married Meredith. Honestly.
Yeah, it's a good time.
All right. So they're all talking in the
Hillary
OR.
Sucks. So they have to do multiple surgeries. The first surgery is fine, and then it's the second surgery where there's like a bunch of shit that goes down, because she has an air embolus, and It's like really confusing because I don't know enough about what this means, but Christina's like, we have to stop this now. She's crashing. And Owen's like, she's not crashing. Like, it's fine. We can wait for cardio. Cause whatever it is, they can maintain her stability until Cardio gets there. But Christina's like, no, I have to end this now. And Owen's like, she wasn't crashing all this stuff. So it's like confusing to me on that end. Cause when everything's beeping and screaming, I'm like, that's bad. Like, you're supposed to fix that.
I think that they're trying to differentiate between crashing and just concern.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very confusing though. So, Christina refuses to wait. So she's like, I'm going in, I'm opening this girl's chest and I'm going to take care of this air embolus. So she does it. Owen is yelling at her not to. Even Callie is like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, stop, stop. And then she's like, someone needs to turn on the fluoro or I'll go in blind. And so Jackson drops what he is doing and turns it on because he's turned on. And so then she goes in and gets the air embolus and then Cardio gets there. So it really wasn't even that long. And then Owen, it's like, what?
He is mad. Fuck? Yeah.
Which honestly, like, you guys know, Christina's my ride or die. I love her so much. She shouldn't have done that. I'm not a doctor and I'm pretty confident she should not have done that. If what they're saying is true, that the patient was not crashing, then it's literally fine. And it wasn't that big a deal for them to wait.
She just wanted to touch a heart.
Yeah. And she also, I'm not saying, like, she knew she could do it. There's no question that I don't think she was trying to prove she could do it. She just wanted to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of the things that I really like about that scene where Hunt and Christina they're not arguing. He's yelling at her and she's trying to justify what she did is honestly, every time another nurse walks by, he stops and he's not trying to publicly shame her.
Yeah.
And he's not. So it's cool that even in that moment where he's like, that was fucking dumb, but he still cares. I really like that scene.
Yeah. Yeah. That was really, it was a good reflection on him. I feel like that he was kind of taking the moment. However, you know, if it had been Alex or Meredith, would he have stopped yelling if people walked by or would he have just yelled at them? I don't know. I really don't. Hard to say. When he says that Christina is taking advantage of their relationship, I don't think that's true. Cause I think she would have stepped out against any attending in this scenario. Like, you put any attending in that spot, I think she would have done the same thing.
She, but I can see where she he's did coming even, from. Didn't he, she even step out or like not listen to even when it was Burke or Han too? Maybe probably not Han, both. But Burke.
Honestly, probably both.
Yeah.
I mean, and she even says, she's like, well, Callie was there and I still did it. So clearly it's not just about you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not respecting the rules of the OR though is a little bit of a, that's.
And especially with Owen having a military background, I feel like he's going to be that much more like really intent on following procedures and rules and stuff.
Well, yeah, he's shown that throughout his whole time of, this is not protocol. This is not how we do this. This is not the procedure. This is, you know, very few times has he operated in outside of the actual rules. Mm-hmm. And one time that comes to mind is when they get that, when the guy was like just bleeding out everywhere. And I think George says we have more blood bleeders than we do hands.
Yeah.
And they go and they get the absorbent from his car or something like that. So, but that was a last case scenario. This, like you said, wasn't. Leading up to it though, I think it's funny that they're all sitting there talking about kind of this kid and what they were like. And Christina says something to the effect of like, well, I was valedictorian. I did whatever I wanted to. It's like, fuck off.
Yeah.
And then Jack's like, you want to hear about me? And no one responds. But in his defense, no one else asked. They just said it. Jackson shouldn't have asked. Just say what you want to say.
Yeah, just talk about yourself, bro. Does anyone want to hear about my childhood? Nope. Okay. I'll just stand here and think about it.
We'll have to get his backstory another day.
Yeah. What do you think his backstory is?
Same backstory as Christina's. Same exact backstory as Christina's.
Okay.
Dead dad in a car accident, valedictorian, type A personality.
Okay. I forget what I was going to say. Anyways, Jackson's super turned on by her breaking these rules. So then later on at the party, he's trashed, but in like, you know, they make it look cute. You know how when people are drunk in real life and it's never cute, but like in shows, they make it look cute.
Anytime I'm drunk, it's cute.
I don't agree.
Except for maybe two times.
I'm drunk either.
There were two times that I think I was cute drunk.
But there were only
two times that I wasn't. Two times that I wasn't cute drunk.
What happened those times?
One of them was the not like this time.
That was not cute.
And the other was Mark and Leah's fake wedding day celebration.
Oh, I don't remember you doing. I remember Mark falling down.
No, he fell down. I didn't do anything in front of anyone. I was standing off to the side of the house, rotating between Ryan and Michael, just talking to me while I puked.
I do remember that now. Yeah, it's all coming back.
By the way, shout out Ryan when you hear this. I miss you, buddy.
Good times, good memes, and Leah.
And Leah, shout out. I want to go. I want to see that little. I want to see that little snuggle Carter bug.
Yeah,
love He's a that cute guy. Poot. Got any loopies?
No, but I could crush some loopies. Yeah, my sister was here.
You did shrooms while your sister was here?
Oh, sorry. There's a pizza place here called Loopies.
Shut the fuck up. Are you serious?
We had it one of the times you were here when we still lived at Michael's parents' house.
That's right. I was talking about the line that girl said when she calls her friend.
You're right. That makes more sense. I was like, wow, I can't believe you remembered that.
I would do some choo-choo barbecue, though.
Mm.
No, that chicken place. What was that fried chicken place?
Champies.
Going to fried chicken right now.
Pretty famous for that, honestly. If you ever come to Chattanooga, guys, eat at Champies. It's really good. They also have tamales, which I've never gotten, but people really love them.
I'll have to get one of those next time when I'm there in April.
Okay, anyway, so Jackson's drunk, cute drunk, and he's like, Dr. Yang, can I Christina you? Are we not? No, Dr. Yang is so hot. Oh my God, everything you do is so hot. I just am so turned on by you. I'm just going to fucking kiss you. And so they kiss, and it is passionate for a moment.
She kisses back. She does kiss back.
She's also a little drunk. I don't think she's all the way drunk, but she's a little drunk. And also because the fight with Owen earlier is unclear, because anytime a fight between a couple ends and someone leaves and says, I'm done, unclear as to what that means.
They were on a break.
So she does end it and she's like, no, I'm involved. I am involved. No, no, no. And pushes him away and leaves and goes right to Owen and is like, you don't understand. This is me. And he's like, I don't know what that means. And she's like, okay, fine. I am sorry. Please come home with me. And he's like, okay.
I thought it was a cute resolution.
Yeah. Because then she actually apologized. And I do think she was being sincere. I do think she is struggling to like make him understand parts of herself. Because he wasn't there for the whole Burke thing. And so I think that like, there's just a lot to her and to her past that he doesn't know about or like understand. And she doesn't really know how to make him understand those things. So, yeah, I think it's a good resolution. I also like the scene with her and Meredith where Meredith is like, well, he cares about you and he cares about your career. And also he's right. Like you shouldn't have done.
Yeah. It's nice to see her be the ride or die and they can be their dark and twisty together. But then Meredith is like, I love you. I respect what you're saying, but also dumb. This dude's right. Like
you should, not
it falls on
that.
Him.
Yeah.
Does she go to confront the girl before or after she goes to Owen?
Before. I'm almost positive.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's before because it's before the party. Yeah.
No, the girl, when she goes and she says, I'm giving your number to the police, that was after the party.
No, that's before the party.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
Yes, it's true. She goes and that girl is like talking to her drug dealer on the phone and she's like, bring me drugs. They're only giving me tiny amounts of morphine. So lame. And Christina says, hey, little pusher girl. This is the doctor. And I'm going to give this number to the cops. How lame is that? So, yeah, that's funny. And then she yells at Hillary and she's like, you actually are fucking stupid. Like, it doesn't matter how smart you are. You're really dumb. And you almost died in surgery. And the only reason you didn't is because you got lucky. So, like, fuck off.
Yeah.
And I mean, I hope that girl takes it to heart. They kind of make it look like she does. But who's to say with a teenager? Can't tell him anything.
Man. Not looking forward to that age with our kids.
Yeah, truly. Mm.
Yeah, no, I like that there's resolution to that. And again, the writers of the show do a good job of giving the mirror of the patient to the yeah. doctor. And we have a good scene with Christina where she has some resolution. She has some, you know, self-care and yeah realization. Thank you.
Reflection. On her own.
So, and she just, yeah, grow up, kid.
Yeah,
fuck.
Truly.
Don't do shrooms. You're 15 years old.
Yeah. Get over it. Like, your life is not this, like, don't be this dumb. Come on now.
Come on. I also need to know how big that high school is because, like, Jessica was valedictorian in, like, a tiny high school. Not take it away from anything that she did because she's one of the smartest girls in the world. Mm-hmm. Also, just for the record, everyone, I said smartest girls. I am a firm believer that women are smarter than men. So just for the record, I feel like I need to qualify that. But I give her crap all the time because her high school was like 30 something in their graduating class. And I had like 900 or 1,000 in my graduating class.
That's wild to me.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, I'm nervous that it's going to come out that Christina and Jackson kissed and Hunt's not going to take it well. And that's when he's going to kill someone.
Oh, right. That's when he's going to shoot Charles.
Yeah. Yeah. forgot. That's how Charles dies.
In Owen's rage that Christina maybe cheated. But they were on a break.
We were on a break. I'm still listening to that audiobook, by the way.
Is it good? Are you enjoying it?
I am. I'm really enjoying it.
That's good.
It's sad. He had a fucked up life.
Yeah, he went through a lot. I don't know if I can listen to it. I mean, I want to. But listening to it, I think, is going to be a whole other thing because he is the one that narrated it.
Yeah. He was saying at one point he was on 100 Vicodin a day.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Anyways. Okay. Well, anything else with this storyline that you want to talk through?
I don't think there's anything else on the Christina and Owen story.
I think it's funny that Christina says that she hates the happy version of Meredith.
Oh, we didn't talk about how Christina's super pissed off at the beginning because Owen didn't page her.
Oh, yeah. When he's like, all right, everyone, just ignore Christina. I have a plan, but I didn't page her. And then Callie goes, oh, yeah, ignore the scalpel hungry animal.
Yeah. And then she just walks by and she ignores them. And then when she's presenting, she's like, was done before rounds by Dr. Hunt. Just glares.
Yeah. We should also talk about Arizona when they were getting everyone together. And she's like, all right, guys. When she's like, I know this is before they get into the other kid, but when she's like doing the rotation thing. Sorry, I thought that was sooner in the episode. I forgot that was a different patient. But I'm starting to blur storylines now in my head. But when Arizona says, this is the first time for some of you on a peds rotation, but not all of you. And she looks directly.
Not all of you. Because you are a liar, Christina.
A liar, liar. Pants on fire, Christina.
Oh, also when Callie and Arizona are fighting at their house and then Owen and Christina come in and they're fighting and then Owen gets mad and leaves and then Arizona gets mad and leaves and Christina just looks at Callie and goes, bitches.
Bitches.
So funny. So funny.
So that scene kind of bleeds into the next thing, and I'm sure we'll probably circle back either to this or I guess we could just talk about it here, but Arizona's mad at Cali for basically not picking up her phone.
Yeah, it's and like it's dumb.
It's a very emotional episode for Arizona. The next half of this podcast will be
we'll break
Arizona.
It down for sure. Break it down.
But yeah, and it's just funny because it's easy to forget that Christina and Cali live together.
Yeah.
So they have this friendship behind the scenes that is developing.
I love it when it comes back out. You're like, oh yeah, because they're both fucking badass women, and I love them. I love their dynamic. I'm like, can't get enough of it. Let's have a spin-off of this shit.
Yeah.
Throw Addison back in with that. Are you kidding me? Oh my God. Perfection.
And Lexi.
Yes.
Give me Lexi in there too. Because she's really coming to her own in this show a lot.
Yeah. So good.
Remember when you hated her?
Yeah. Still don't know why. Love to know why.
Especially if you like Mark so much. Them even just adjacent to each other, they're great.
They're amazing.
They're currently my favorite couple on this show.
Yeah, I think mine as well. I think it's them and then Cali in Arizona.
Oh, fuck. I keep forgetting. Because I love them. I think right now, my favorite couple, it's both of them they're really close, but they have such good dynamics both back and forth. But I think right now my favorite character on the show in this exact moment really is Arizona. She's just had such a string of good fucking dialogue.
Yeah. The more and more we get like on Arizona's backstory and just like more we learn about her as a person, but also as a doctor, it's just like they make it impossible to dislike her, which is fine. I mean, I'm not trying to dislike her. I just like they write her so well. It's like, who wouldn't like this character?
Yeah. I also want to give a quick shout out to Janisha from Patreon on our Discord chat. So I don't think we called this out because this was on the 5th. So this just happened a couple days ago. But for season 6, episode 5, when Arizona says the good man in a storm quote, that also is quoted in the bomb episode with Dylan. And the one girl says something Christina to the Ricci. Effect of, yeah, good man in a storm. So shout out Janisha. So that's something that she's been
catch.
Really.
Yeah, because I didn't catch that either.
And it's not a spoiler anymore. So thank you for calling that out.
It's true. So I think that's all that we have for these storylines. So we'll really break into the Wallace, Arizona party, everything storyline here in just a few seconds after we do everyone's favorite segment.